Hello and welcome to another episode of the Two Bros Podcast. We are Two Bros. This is the Two Bros Podcast. Welcome, welcome. Well, I'm just looking up when was my last update. 16th October. Damn it. It's been a while. And as the title of the podcast will suggest, it's been crazy because basically things escalated quite a bit after that date. We had two midterms, one for 478, one for 582. The 478 midterm was okay. It was interesting, in fact. And I liked that we deviated completely from planet Earth and focused on one mission going to Venus. Required a total re-evaluation of every single formula, every single, you know, one of these constants that work on Earth. And it's a different value on Venus, of course. And everything was different. Every single consideration was different. And that was interesting. So while I was writing the exam, I was actually enjoying writing that exam. It felt good. I got done. I haven't received my grades yet because we're still quite far back. I mean, we've had, 11 homeworks till now. And I think anything past homework 5 has still not been graded. Or even if it has been graded, it's not been submitted. So I don't know when I'm going to get it, probably by the end of the term, hopefully before the term ends. So that in case there's some discrepancy, we can talk to the GSI, talk to the professor about it. I don't know. I remain hopeful. Not too long left. And then we had the 582 exam, the 100-hour exam. Essentially a 128-hour exam. And then because of the daylight saving, it was a 129-hour exam. So, yeah, if you want to get technical. But this was more... We knew what to do because this was covered in the homeworks. I won't say covered in class. It was covered in homeworks, which we eventually figured out over multiple discussions and multiple sessions with the GSI, hit and trial. And eventually coming to some sort of a conclusion that this is how it's supposed to be done. And then this is essentially, you have to plan a whole mission. You're given mission parameters and you basically have to come up with everything. Your data analysis, your thermal analysis, your everything you can think of. Solar panel size, battery capacity, every single thing. And that took a while, but not that long. I think it landed on Friday morning, 9 a.m. And I got a good start. I think by the end of Friday, I had finished questions 1 and 2. On Saturday, I had finished question number 3. On Sunday, I was just sort of filling in the blanks. There were some questions which were just like incomplete and I had some questions. So I kind of like just did that. On Monday, I think I met the GSI and pretty much wrapped it up Monday night and submitted it. And the deadline was Wednesday evening, 5 p.m. So I think I did well, but as I've just been sort of going over what I wrote, going through my notebook, I've made some mistakes. I've been hearing what other people did. They've done something else or something a little different from what I did. There are certain things which I kind of overlook because I don't know why. I have this tendency of just sort of finishing it or just wrapping it up or getting it done. And if you make small mistakes on down the way, I guess that's the price you pay. But I'm trying to change that. I do want to like, and I think I'm by the end, I was just so zonked. I didn't even read my submission PDF again. I read it as I was writing it and I did not do a revision and I submitted. And earlier this morning, I was doing a thermal analysis for my project and I realized I had changed one value for the epsilon, one of the epsilon values for thermal analysis. And I changed it in one part of the equation and then I didn't change it in the other part of the equation. So, I mean, it's a minor difference, but it is a mistake nonetheless. If it is caught, I will lose marks. So, yeah. Now, that too was a while back. It was 10 days back? 10 days ago was a deadline, I think. And still haven't been graded for homework 3. So, I don't know when that's coming out. peer review evaluations came out. I scored reasonably well. I guess I was expecting a little bit higher, but with peer reviews, you don't know, because again, they're anonymous and you can't like, even if somebody in the group doesn't like you, you can just like take it out on them and they'll never know. And that's just how they're designed. Even in some of the peer reviews for other classes, like submissions for memos and stuff, some of these comments that they write, I don't know. I don't know what they expect, what level of commitment they expect, because the memo I wrote, some of the data was just not available. And the comment suggested, you need to write more about this. And I'm like, there is no data. This is just my plan that I intend to do this, but this is officially, it doesn't exist. And then if I write that we need to do this, if I stick my neck out, then they're going to be like, what is the evidence to back this up? Because there is no evidence. So I just kind of left it like hovering halfway in the middle, like we need to do this or, you know, take some measures to, you know, head in that direction. But what that direction is and how much needs to be done, that data I kind of left to, the addressee, the person I was writing to. I wanted him to sort of take charge of that. That was the idea of my memo. But the comments I got was like, you need to have substantial data, but there isn't data for that. There just isn't. It doesn't exist. So I don't know, man. Peer reviews are just a giant question mark. It's just like, I guess that's why everyone's just sort of like fake nice to everybody in class. In case you end up in the group, you don't want to like have bad blood and then suffer. And I think once you're done with class, people don't even bother. I get a feeling. Anyway, so that happened, 100-hour exam. It was okay. But the thing is, after that exam ended, it was such a mental haze, because that's all you did for a couple of days. Like, you would get up, do this till you could work, take a nap, have some food, and then back on it, because the deadline is just there. You just have no wiggle room. It's just staring down at you. And and then after coming out, I went to class on Tuesday because I was done on Monday. I was just like, there was discussion in class, my brain was like, nope, no, bro, I'm not happening. I'm not working today. So there was some calculation going on. I was just writing down the formulas and I was writing down the values, and I was just not in the zone to calculate. And the professor asked me, do you have an answer? I was like, nope, not today. I got nothing. But yeah, slowly that fog lifted and I feel like I'm sort of back in the zone now. After the 100-hour exam, I was lucky enough to be part of this student conference in Washington, D.C. And somebody canceled in the last minute or something, and I had to step in. Again, one of those situations where you don't really know what you're signing up for, but I'm like, how bad can it be? I'll see what it is. Washington, D.C., for the first time, it felt like I'm in an American city. It felt like, okay, all right. But Ann Arbor is like, there's nothing to do here. It's dull. It's like a tiny town. There's nothing to do here. The tallest building here, I think, is the hospital, the Kellogg's Eye Center, or the whatever hospital that is. And that's it. Probably, I'm saying probably. I don't know. Maybe the clock tower is a bit higher than that. I don't know. But yeah, it's a bit dull. But Washington was fun. A big city, walked past some major landmarks, the Washington Monument, the Capitol, went to the Air and Space Museum. I saw moon rocks for the first time in my life. And I'm just like, that itself is just something else. And if that wasn't enough, I found out later that day that in a different museum, the Museum of Natural History, they've already placed the samples from the OSIRIS-REx mission, the asteroid sample from asteroid Bennu, it's there. And I was like, damn, I gotta go there. The next day I went there and I saw the asteroid sample. A bit underwhelming, but still, if you look at it, this little pebble traveled a billion kilometers or miles or whatever in outer space, and you're looking at it. So if you take it literally, it's nothing. It's just a pebble. I mean, it's no different from the pebbles you have on your roads and stuff, but it's a pebble from an asteroid and it's here and I'm looking at it. I think that in itself was pretty amazing. And there were other some really cool exhibits there, stuff from the moon missions, and actual satellites, a lander. Is that what it's called? The capsule, sorry, the return capsule. With the heat shield and everything intact. All on display. Neil Armstrong's spacesuit was there. I mean, it's... Yeah, it was interesting to look at all that. And the conference itself was not so bad. It was I didn't feel like I was learning anything. It was just a bunch of people talking about their companies and their missions. It became very, very corporate. And somebody rightly pointed out in the question and answer session that why aren't more scientists and researchers here talking about their research and talking about research opportunities for our students? Why has it just become like a corporate gig for people in suits and CEOs to come and talk and brag about their company and stuff? I mean, I get the point, but these guys are they are leading the space industry, I guess, or they're doing something. I don't know who's the leader. I don't know, SpaceX, NASA, I don't know, somebody. But it was interesting to be there. Very, very collection of like-minded people, all interested in space, but all age ranges, from like high schoolers to undergrads to grads to PhDs and stuff. So it's a big range. Then I came back from DC, and since then it's just been I didn't do much, honestly, since I came back. There was one homework, I think, one memo due. Then it's basically just been the project work. And on my 478 project, I'm working on a history of failed lunar missions, I should say. And it's hilarious, okay? Like, okay, I can't imagine. I mean, living in those days must have been really exciting, because you're like, it's the height of the Cold War. And you're hearing news from, each other's corners, and you're like, well, what's happening? And then, like, Russia tries to launch something and land on the moon, and it doesn't take off. And then America tries something, that also doesn't take off. And then Russia tries, that also fails, and this fails, and then this fails. And everyone's trying, and they're really trying. You can see it. You reach a stage where, I think it was Russia that took the lead, that they escaped Earth's gravity, but they missed the moon. So it just kind of like kept going, and it entered an orbit around the sun. So these things are also happening. And then the US tried, and then that also missed the moon by some 36,000 kilometers. And then it just sort of ended in a heliocentric orbit. And it was so interesting. And I'm like, if I was like alive in that period and this was going on, like, who's going to get to the moon first, man? Like, come on, that is interesting as hell. Then we know what happened. That is an interesting project, but I've already written it. And you need to write 10 pages, and then you need to sort of make a presentation, 30-minute presentation. And the text is written. I'm meeting my team at 5 on a Zoom call or something. And then we'll sort of decide, orient our pages and sort of mix it up and create a final report, and then start working on the presentation, in my other project, the space debris project, which I'm doing for 582. I just did the thermal analysis for our satellite this morning. We're planning to launch a satellite to detect space debris. As of now, there's nothing which has been done. There are companies who do sort of, what is that company? ClearSpace One, I think it's called. And they have like a grab mechanism with like tentacles and stuff, if that's the right definition. But they grab like bigger objects, bigger defunct satellites, and sort of like change their direction and sort of let them die. But we are more focused on like micro-sized debris, because things traveling at that speed, 7-8 kilometers per second, even if it's tiny as hell, it's going to have a lot of impact, and it can cause a lot of damage. And it is a problem. I think, as just for your information, the total number of micro nano sized debris particles is of the order of 128 million pieces of these things, which are just orbiting. And nobody's doing anything about it, because there's no incentive to do anything about it. Nobody's going to get paid. And I guess that's just the world we live in now. Like, if there's nothing in it for you, nobody does it. Everyone's just kind of looking out for themselves. It's that same survival instinct, zero-sum game. If I have it, if you have it, I don't have it. If I have it, you don't have it. Something like that. and no one's doing anything. I don't know. And surprisingly, the laws of shipping are more stringent than laws in space, which is beyond belief. Ah, man. I don't know. It's just sometimes I feel like, how does everybody see these things and still wake up and think, okay, this is the way we need to go. This is the way. It's because it's not. Who is it? Who is it helping? Who is it benefiting? A handful of people. And if that's the plan, then it's not going to work. Or is it because there's just too many people? Is that what it is? That you need to weed people out? Is that what it is? I don't know. So at the conference, I spoke to the guys from, there were some recruitment opportunities. So I spoke to the guys at SpaceX, told them what I do, told them what I did. And I've realized nobody knows what happens on a ship, because while I was telling him, he had a blank look, like he didn't know what I was talking about. And I could tell he has no idea what I'm saying. And so my 10 years of experience at sea, basically for him, the recruiter, means nothing. And finally, I ended by asking, because I could tell he's losing interest. I just asked him, is there anything for international students or non-residents? He says, no. So, yeah, that's about it. Because space is like, I don't know if I've mentioned this earlier, because I probably have. Space is really closely tied with defense because it's missiles and rockets and stuff. So spy satellites, spyware, this and that, cameras, imaging, whatever. So they would not want to open up that area to non-residents in terms of, I don't know, national security, whatever. So I really got down to it, and I'm like, okay, what can we do here? So it's basically, from what I've understood, it's only academic positions. Like, if you want to do research and stuff, then you can get a job here. The kind of jobs which I was envisioning are not available to international students. So I now have to make a decision. I mean, I do intend to obviously complete this course and graduate and then see what's what. And now then I have to make a decision. Do I stick it out in the industry, work for 5 years, and then think about what needs to be done? Or do I graduate and head back home and work for a startup? Or I know it's a long shot, start my own company and do that, because I'm kind of getting sick of working with people. It's really annoying how they are so set in their ways, how they are so rigid in their approach, how they are so stubborn, and nothing is being done to benefit everybody. How is it that this system works? How is it that it works? I don't get it. And honestly, some people just want to do good for humanity. Some people just want to be educated. Some people just want to maybe learn something and then go back and help their country, and not in a military dominant kind of a methodology, just in terms of technology. And maybe like India's space program is still in its infancy. We've done great work, but we still have a long way to go to catch up to some of these big players. But we will get there. But so what? So what if I learn something here and I take it back home? How is that wrong? I don't see why. But this is it's entirely closed off to international students, and it's a bit heartbreaking, because and then I don't want to work 5 years doing a job which I didn't like. If I wanted that, I would just work at sea again. So why would I do that? And I realize I'm not a scientist, man. I'm an engineer. That is what I do. And I ended up taking some science subjects as well. Not my cup of tea, man. It's just not. I don't want to sit in a lab and do research and then write papers and stuff. It's agonizing. It's boring. I miss the feeling of having like a spanner and a screwdriver in my hand and working in an engine room and dismantling things while your hands are working and your brain is just sort of checked out and this mental peace has just sort of descended. There's no greater feeling than that. It's just amazing. And the joy of watching an overhauled machine just run, and all the parameters are good, and everything works, it's perfect. It's so good. It feels so good. It feels like you actually did something. It's tangible. It's visible in front of you. It's not a spreadsheet. It's not numbers and pixels on a screen. It's tangible. Something is working because you fixed it. That is the stuff. That is what I like. Yeah, so I gotta take a call, see what I need to do. I don't know, I guess I'll decide in some time. I don't have to do it right away. Yeah, anyway. So yeah, came back from DC, haven't been doing much. I do have some free time on my hands, so I've been trying to get into fitness again because the winter has properly descended now. Minus temperatures every night. Low tens during the day, depends if the sun's out or if it's raining, it's like high single digit numbers. Yeah, I don't know, if I don't run, my migraines, my sinus just starts acting up and then I get terrible headaches which last a whole day. Yeah, I've stocked up on woolens. I know people back home are going to make fun of me because I get really cold, but that's the thing. Here's the funny thing. Back in Delhi, you kind of resist the cold, right? You're like, oh, this is going to be this way for 10 days, but why is it so cold? Why can't it just be warm? And then you kind of resist it. Here, I've sort of accepted it. Like, it snowed for the first time on Halloween, October 31st. Or people here don't call it snow. They were flurries. But for me, it was frozen icicles falling. It's snow. Okay, please. What was I saying? Oh, I forgot. Oh, wait, yeah. So here, I've sort of accepted the reality that this is what it is. It's going to be like this for like 6 months now. And I need to just be okay with it. And even if you feel cold, you just sort of deal with it. You deal with it. There's no other way. It's not going away. And it's only going to get worse. It's not going to get easier. And with that acceptance, it's somehow become more tolerable. I'm not as grumpy as I used to be back home in Delhi during the winters. And friends of mine can attest to that. But yeah, I don't know what's coming. I can't even fathom what minus 17 feels like. And like with like a breeze, like a strong, stiff breeze blowing in minus 17. I don't even know what that's like. But I guess I'll find out very, very soon. Yeah, but I'm all stocked up, ready to go. The semester is on its, it's almost going to end now. It's December 7th, if I'm not wrong, is the last date, 7th or 8th. Few project submissions, but again, they're all project works. For 581, I've already written my part in the management proposal. I've already written it. So that's done. 478, like I said, I've written the intro, and it's a funny intro. I got a bit carried away. So I wrote 2.5 pages of just intro. yeah, I don't know if how much my team likes it, but yeah. That's done. So I just need to sort of like do a presentation of these failed missions and just sort of like paste pictures of each spacecraft, because I think that's just visually more appealing rather than just have text and people sort of like nod off. And I don't want to do this presentation where people just come on stage and just start rambling off a laptop. I want interaction. I want people to sort of mean what they're saying. I don't want it to be dull and boring. I want it to be engaging. And then what's left? 582, I've just done thermal analysis today. I need the power requirements for our payload, the sensors we're going to be using, so I can add it, get a mass budget, get a power budget, see if it, all of that fits in our volume, or into, maybe we need to change our volume of the CubeSat we're using. Yeah, and that's pretty much it. And then there's a report for 582 where I need to sort of paste my research and my references, basically. So I have all of that. It's just a matter of sort of putting it all together. And yeah, that's about it. I think the next update is going to be when the semester ends. And yeah. Oh, my brother's calling. Oh, he got married, by the way. So congratulations, big brother. You can wish him if you're hearing this. I couldn't attend the wedding because I was in the middle of my 100-hour exam. And yeah, I guess I'll see you on the next one. See ya. Bye-bye.